Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Tune in. Grow in faith.
Scrabble with royalty takes us to 9 minutes after 4 o'clock. A very good afternoon to you. You have just joined this chat room. It is, of course, Friday's edition of Spectrum. My name is Lukho Mkwediputi. Absolutely thrilled to spend the next 2 hours with you. Now, Fridays are nothing short of exciting because I have made it my mandate that every single Friday, you and I, together with our children, are going to get into the habit of reading. It's difficult, right? So I fight with my nephew. My niece doesn't really mind much, but my nephew, he's still trying to put up some resistance. But how do they say, a reading nation is an informed nation. And so, hey, why not? So we're starting this afternoon with a beautiful lady. And I must say, I didn't say this to her. It's a shock that I'm going to say it on air now. I absolutely adore her complexion. They say she's a dark beauty. Linda, hello.
Hi, how are you, Lukho?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am excellent. I feel blessed. I feel like I'm at the right place at the right time.
Come on. Now, let me tell you this. So I met Linda at the Rancho over the weekend. And this lady walked up to me. Look, there's a lot of people we get to converse with. But also, there's a lot of people looking for such opportunities or wanting to engage with us, whether they've released music or have written a book and. But I'll tell you what it was about you that I was like, come on board.
I'm interested. I'm very interested.
Linda approached me with my energy. She was like, she was bouncing. And by the way, guys, she was on duty. She was at work. She's they call you guys lady in uniform.
Yes.
She was a lady in uniform. She walked up. She's like, I've authored 3 books. I'm like, yo. And she was literally me. She was excited and we had a good conversation. I was like, I need you in studio. Little did I know that less than a week later, you would be seated here with me. So welcome home.
Thank you so much.
Is it your first time at Radio Pulpit?
It's my... You know, I was actually trying to think, is it my first time? I'm not sure. I think it's my second time. I think when I did one of the books, just before I launched it,
yes,
I did have an interview. But I'm just not 100% sure. I think it's my
second
one.
Because you were very busy.
Yeah, I think it's my second one. I think
it happens. And I always ask this question, Linda, because Radio Pulpit is an old child, you know? And a lot of people will say, look, in my teenagers, I stopped by here somehow. So I entirely understand where you're coming from. Now, tell us, who exactly is Linda? I have given a hint that you are a lady in uniform. Sisoja. I love that. By the way, my late grand's name, believe it or not, was Noma Soja.
Ah.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
Soldier lady, basically.
Very good with Noma. Noma is not surprising. Noma is not surprising.
I know.
Okay, my name is Linda. Mm-hmm. My surname is Masuku. Mm-hmm. I am a Zulu girl. Tina Sonda Ndwandwe. Zisongo. We are Obomkachwa Ozidobalala. And I am very proud to be that Zulu girl. I love what you just said, that you love my complexion. I actually put a post not so long ago telling people about how I love my complexion. I could never put anything that would make me one shade lighter than I am.
Really?
I love my dark skin. I was taught by my grandmother. Actually, the first 7 years of my life, I lived with my grandmother. And for 7 years, she whispered in my ear that I am beautiful. So, because she's also a dark lady, I think she anticipated how much bullying I'm going to receive.
Yep.
And she made sure that I have that thick skin. Little will you know that till today, I get bullied by my dark skin.
Till today,
people put up statuses about me and say, Nebubi, Nebumnyama.
Imagine.
And they think I'm offended.
Can never get to you.
Oh my God, I'm so African and I love it.
I love that. I think for me, there was a lady, weird enough, we should actually mention this. She was part of our village, and she was much darker than I am, probably even darker than you. And I think she had experienced that bullying so much, and I happened to be the odd one out at home because I was darker than my siblings. And she would fight. Now I have a twin brother, and my twin brother is very light in complexion, and she would always say, "Ay, don't mind them, Danam. They think he's the handsome one." Yeah, dark beauty. Yeah. And that woman worked on my confidence like nobody's business.
And so, it goes far. It goes far. My little sister, there's only two of us at home. It's just myself and my little sister. And she's light. She looks colored.
Okay.
That's how light she is. I actually look like my dad and she looks like her dad. So my mom always makes the joke of black and white, you know, and people are always shocked that we are sisters.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is the background that I have, especially in my young age. Yes. And she's sick at the moment. But yeah, I'm tala. So
I can understand.
It's understandable. Yeah, it's understandable.
Oh man, I'm so happy also that you get to speak about this in a beautiful light. Umuntu, someone who's never experienced what we've experienced in far as that will actually think, why is it a big deal? But trust me, it is a very big deal.
It's not just a big deal for me. It's an embarrassment.
Mm.
It shows me that somebody is still captured in their mind.
Mm.
It's only somebody that is captured still by the apartheid system that would think that a lighter skin makes you more beautiful than a person that is darker.
Yeah.
I enjoy the sun more than lighter people. Nabaqobisama skin what I don't have to.
Yeah, like melanin doesn't break.
Yes, my melanin never breaks. You know, it's always popping.
Yeah.
And I there's nothing I love more than my skin and my skin color, and I'm always also transmitting that to my son.
Yeah.
I have one biological son and I have one son that God gave me last year. I am a mother. More than anything, the most important thing to me is relationships.
Yeah.
And if I have to define myself, firstly, I define myself with my relations. And the first thing is that I'm a mother. I'm a mother to Ntsika. Ntsika is my biological son. He is 15 years old. Then I have an older son that God blessed me with last year. His name is Lihle Majoro. He is a blessing that God gave me at the right time, at the right place. So those are my two kids. And Nabo is black and white. So Lihle is extremely light. And Ntsika is more to my side. But yeah, I love them.
That's absolutely beautiful. I'm really praying and I'm hoping that a parent as well that's listening, that's having these struggles and having to convince your child that, listen, you're beautiful, you're worthy. Now they actually get it.
Mm.
Now, here's the thing. Linda is actually an author. And I want us to go back to that aspect of you. I mean, Minangboni Sosha, I just saw a lady who is in the army. And guys, when I saw her first book, I was like, where did you even get a chance to write? She has the thickest, like, your Bible's not thick enough, my friend. Your Bible is not thick enough. She's a thick book. Please, let's start here. Before we talk about the book, where did your love for writing start? And why was it so important for you to keep it alive?
All right. Let me tell you something about me. I am a lifetime student. When I have to apply for a job, I must use different CVs.
Oh.
Because I have different qualifications for different specialties and expertise. So I am that lifetime student. So writing comes natural to me because reading also comes natural to me. I love to put thoughts down.
Okay.
The first book is actually nicknamed Bible by a lot of people because of how thick it is.
Oh.
And it actually took me 7 years to write this book. What I would do is on a daily basis, I would read a scripture and then I would write a message of the scripture.
Mm.
But I did it for so many years that it equaled to 365 messages.
What?
Then I decided instead of just posting them on Facebook on a daily basis, why not make a book and leave a legacy for my son? Because then that book is at Amazon. People will keep buying it. And he, even in my absence, he will still profit from it.
Hmm.
And those messages will always be relevant because they are now in a book instead of them just being on a social media platform.
Sure, very interesting. Now, like you said, it's a devotion. Let's talk about this particular book. What is it called? And maybe if you can even bless us with the word for today, actually.
All right. The name of the book is Manna, the Heavenly Bread. I got this title from a concert that I went to or a preaching that I went to when T.D. Jakes was here in 2015. And I was writing the book, but I did not know what is the name of the book. And he preached about manna that day, and it was just the perfect fit for a daily devotion because it is food for the soul
for
on a daily
day that
basis.
Comes.
Yes, and it's free because it's coming from God and nobody else. I'm just going to read today's message, Manna, the Heavenly Bread by Linda, and it's 10th April. The title is Heavenly Blessed versus Worldly Blessed. The scripture is Matthew 5 from verse 1 to 12. It reads as follows. Blessed is a word that is trending these days. Even though it's a biblical word, the world is using it as it sees fit. Most times it is used when people receive material things from God, but they are unaware that to be blessed has nothing to do with material possessions. Mm. Jesus' teachings about blessed have nothing to do about material possessions. And it is totally different from the worldly teaching about blessings. According to Jesus' teachings, blessed people are people who are poor in spirit, mourning, hungry for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, and peacemakers, insulted and persecuted for righteousness. According to the world, these are stupid, boring, weak, hurt, and lifeless people. Yet according to Jesus, they are blessed and they must rejoice because their reward is in heaven. The way that the world defines things is totally different, even opposite to the way that Jesus defines things. So there is a vast difference between the worldly blessed and the heavenly blessed. The worldly blessing is based on material possessions, while the heavenly blessing is based on the condition of the heart. The one looks more attractive than the other, but remember that the one that seems attractive is temporary and the one that does not seem attractive is eternal. If you are a heavenly citizen, then you will abide by the heavenly definition. But if you are a worldly citizen, then you will abide by the worldly definition. But let us choose to be heavenly blessed than worldly blessed.
Sure.
Amen.
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 And so you were blessed by that word again today.
Yes.
How does it feel, though, to wake up and have that a message you wrote years ago bless you anew?
It's amazing. What I've realized is it's as if God knew what manna I would need on each day. You know, the days that I don't read it is the days that I... Actually, maybe the message wouldn't be relevant on that particular day for me. But on the day that I decide, okay, let me just read a piece today, then it's always so relevant to what is happening in my life at that particular time. So it's as if even in times when are difficult, because those times comes as a Christian where you... Because sometimes people think just because you are an ordained pastor and you have qualifications in theology, those tough times don't come. But when those tough times come and you cannot hear from God, I just go to manna and I hear God speaking to me all over
again.
And
you feed to that manna, that manna.
Exactly. And I'm like, God, you knew why I had to write this and the date for it be the... One thing about God is that there is no coincidence when it comes to him. He knew why 10th April had to be this particular verse. He knew that I'd be on radio pulpit on this particular day. He knew that the listener that thought they are not blessed because they do not have material things is going to be listening today.
Yep.
He knew that there is a listener that needs to a confirmation that they are actually heavenly blessed and it's more more precious than materially blessed.
Amen.
He knew that at this time somebody is going to hear this and they are going to need it and it's going to bless them, not just for today, but for a lifetime.
Listen, I am blessed, I must say, because like you're saying, really, oftentimes we do stock take and I can't even remember when I stopped doing that. I remember there was a time I was so frustrated and you'd calculate your age. Oh man, what have I achieved? What have... And one day I think the Lord said to me, yes, it's fine, you haven't achieved all these materialistic things, but have you considered that you still have your sanity? And it's one of the things I always pray about, to say, you know what, Lord, for as long as I'm sane, because if I look at things that I've been through, I still don't understand how I'm so sane.
It's as if you were with me last week. I was thanking God that I never had a heart attack.
You know?
there was a day, I will speak about it, we'll speak about it later. There was a day when I found out four different facts that one of them could have given me a heart attack and they didn't. I think I'll speak about it when I get to the last book, because in the last book we speak about miscarriages. And in that day, and whenever I think of that day, I think, how did my body not stop functioning?
Sure.
Because
makes
there
no
was
sense.
Every reason why I should have gotten a heart attack. There was every reason why I should have been admitted into a psychiatric
Could
hospital.
Have gotten a stroke.
Yes,
even.
Yes. It would have been understandable if people come and visit me in a psychiatric hospital. People would have understood why I am there. Mm. But somehow God said, not my daughter. She's not going there. She is going to see it through well and sane till it comes to an end.
Sure. Absolutely powerful. But now tell me, because I want us to go to the next book, because I'm very curious, especially about the next two books as well. Is the book still out there?
The books are still out there.
Okay.
My books are available at Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Yes. At Amazon, they are... The author is Linda Lutwanzi, which is my previous surname.
Okay.
I was married, so that's my previous surname. Masuku is my maiden surname, and that's the surname that I'm transitioning back into, and I'm super excited about it.
Love it. Okay, let's catch a breather, Linda, because I want us to go to your next book, because you then kind of change gears a little bit, and you touch into, you know, a totally different subject, and not a devotional. You know, people would think, oh, she's the devotional author and that's it. But there's so much more to you. You actually spoke about the fact that your third one is an even more personal book, actually. We're going to get into that. And I just want to grab a glass of water, join us shortly, because Linda and I will be here literally all the way until 5 o'clock. I'll be having a chat with her.
Where hope and faith thrive.
Tune in for the 25th Cafe, where young adults talk about life, daily challenges, relationships, money matters, current issues, and of course, godly guidance. 25th Cafe, Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Or listen to the podcast on radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222. Or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion through thick and thin. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.
Hello, hello, hello. Very good afternoon to you once again. Still sitting in studio this afternoon with Linda Masuku, the lady in uniform that I met at the Rand Show. It's beautiful to know Linda Uguti. You know, sometimes people will ever know you as that singer or that soldier, but you decided Ayakumpila will not be defined only by what you do at work, but as a, I don't know if I should say as a, It's not a norm for children of God to start writing. Like, I don't even have a single book. So as a believer, you had to distinct yourself and say, listen, I am going to be that lady that sits down and pens my experiences as well with the Father throughout life. And just, I want to believe, I'm not throwing forward, guys, to what she's going to tell us now, that all of these have put you in a place where you're like, you know what? Through all, I've seen the hand of God.
Definitely seen the hand of God. I just want to narrate how I actually started writing these books, because I also thought, I don't want my life in the public.
Of course.
I want everything to be private. We grow up in Christianity knowing that we need to always show the perfect life.
Of course.
We need to act like our marriages are perfect, because some of us got married the right way, and I take pride in that.
Okay.
Met in church, never had sex up until we got married. Our foundation was God. We were not drinking. We were not smoking. Conversations were sizovulisonto. We're going to open a church.
Okay.
I was the preacher. He was the intercessor, and everything according to the book, I did not expect that we are going to get into a glitch. Mm. But then we got separated in 2015 when my ex-husband cheated. His first big cheat was in 2014, 2015. He left in 2015. And when he left, the Christian me came out again.
Mm.
And I prayed for him and I fasted and I refused to see us apart.
Wow.
We have a child. I did not want to accept it.
Mm.
I wanted what was mine back. I believed it. What was put together by God could not be put asunder, as the word said. I believed that it was a mistake. He was not matured enough at the time.
Sure.
I looked at myself and I said, there's also mistakes that I also made probably in the marriage.
So I ought to forgive.
Yes, so I ought to forgive and I ought to see what I can do to also be this perfect wife that would keep him at home.
Sure.
So I thought.
The big mistake we make of thinking we can keep a human being.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. For him to see that I'm this big loss, that that I obviously am, whether anybody believes it or not.
You're a keeper.
Yeah, not definitely. So this is when I wrote the book. When we got back together, everybody actually thought we would never get back together.
Mm.
He had already, when my ex-husband leaves you, he does not leave you and go and heal. He leaves you and immediately starts living with the new girlfriend.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is what he had done also in the first separation. He had left me and went to live with his girlfriend. So everybody was convinced that we were not going to get back
gone
together.
And that
He's
was it.
Gone. And when he came back, it was as if I flew the Christian flag high and I showed everybody that your husband can come back even if somebody has taken him away, even if he had decided that he left. So after that, then a colleague of mine said, why don't you write a book about what you learned during the separation? All of us had given up and we thought you were mad, but it's obvious that God works and this man is back. We even had, we renewed our vows and we had a bigger wedding than the first one. And everything looked like,
it's solid, forever,
you know? So, but I'm a firm believer in marriage. I love
that.
Marriage. I believe marriage is beautiful. I usually say to my friends that if I meet, this is not an invitation for me to get men, but if I meet the right man, I can get married tomorrow because I believe in that institution. I believe that we are the ones that ruin marriage. If we are not 100% in the marriage, both of us, then it's not going to work. As long as there's somebody that's giving 100 and the other is not giving the 100, it will not work no matter what you do. And you cannot go 150. Even if you go 150, if he's still not giving you the what he's supposed to give you, then you're
there's
not going to get
it. Imbalance somewhere.
So that's when I wrote the book. And little did I know that I'm writing this book and I'm going to need it again when we got the second separation. And it is still such a valid book and I love it. I'm just going to read a few chapters, not the whole chapter, but the names of the chapters. The name of the first chapter is the initial prayer. You know, what is your initial prayer when things start happening in your marriage, you know? As a child of God, as a married child of God, you must stick to your initial prayer.
Yeah.
You should not be swayed by what is happening around you to now change your initial prayer. This was actually a sermon that Pastor Mbata did in our church, the Vine International Community Church. And I kept that my initial prayer was, I want my husband back. And I'm not going to change it because I'm seeing that his relationship is flourishing with the girlfriend that he's in. The second one that I wrote about was, change starts with me, with you. I think one of the things that I was doing wrong before our first separation was, I was not accepting of him having friends that are not Christian. We met at church and everything was church bound. And now he's new in Pretoria. I brought him to Pretoria from the Eastern Cape. So he's new in Pretoria and all of a sudden he's flying his wings. And I could not adapt to the transition that he was having. I think also because he comes from a poor family, now he's starting to have money and the money is also starting to change him. So God was also teaching me to accept my husband as he changes, which is a very valid point even today, because in marriage, we think the person you are marrying is the person that is going to, you are going to die with. But the person that you are married is going to have transitions even during the marriage.
Okay.
And as a woman of God and as a man of God, as partners in marriage, you need to love this person all over again. So you are loving
even with the different phases of their lives.
So maybe in every 5 or 10 years, you are loving a new person, you know? Every 5 or 10 years, you are loving a new
apparently
person.
Apparently, studies have it that a person transitions every 7 years of their life.
You understand?
So you got to see two transitions.
Exactly. And we don't realize that. We think he is the way he is and this person that I'm marrying is going to be like this forever.
Yeah.
And we don't have that reality when we are children. And I think maybe it's also one of the things that we needed to be taught. And when he changes, don't fear, but adapt also to what he's saying and also acknowledge that you are also changing inside.
True.
The third chapter is on be on high alert. You know, in marriage, you need to be on high alert. You need to see the signs. Sometimes we are so relaxed in our marriages that we don't see the signs. But I'm sure it's more a man thing than a woman thing. Tina, wakaluk jola today. We already see that you are dating.
Yeah.
I used to tell his family, because I could see with his changes. And he was a horrible person in a sense that he was a narcissist. And I don't say that out of anger or because or to speak ill of him or because I'm not educated enough. I actually have an honors degree in industrial psychology. And when my son and I went for psychological counseling, when they heard in our counseling sessions, they started saying we need the guy that is there because they could see there is a huge problem with him besides what is happening to us. Because when you're with a narcissist, it's not the narcissist hurts you, but you are the one that ends up in therapy and they never want to go to therapy. So whenever he was cheating, it would be a volcano at home. Everything would be a fight.
The peace would be out the window.
Yeah. He would show you, I do not want to be here. To a point where it came where I could say, no, go and be where you want to be and leave us in peace. We are at home. Maybe you have another home. Go to your other home. This is home for us. So we need to be on high alert when you are married. Be able to see that, you know, he's cheating now. Be able so that even your prayers can be directed. What am I asking God for? Because I have seen what is happening. In my own
You need
marriage.
To know what you're dealing with.
Exactly. Another thing is keep your ring on. That was the fourth, get rid of the anger. It is so important in marriage to get rid of the anger, you know? Sometimes people struggle in marriage because they are more angry than they are focusing on the problem. You know, when you remove the feelings, the anger out, then you are able to see the core of the problem
and deal
with the real issue. You know, I'm not saying that we should not be angry. It's a normal thing. It's a normal human thing. But when we are starting to deal with the issue, then you remove the anger out and you start to deal with the issue. So those are just a few chapters that...
And you still believe that these are still relevant even to this day?
Yes.
Whether or not, unfortunately, things didn't work out in your end, but at the end of the day, one can learn and grow from these.
I do, because I have a lot of testimony of people that have come and said, your book assisted me, you know? And I don't think the book is wrong. I don't think anything that God spoke about at that time is wrong. But I think when I'm going to publish again, I'm just going to put a disclaimer that this is for normal human beings.
Come on.
People that are healthy in their minds.
Yeah.
These are for those kind of people. But immediately you are starting to deal with somebody that has mental health issues. Normal principles are not going to be able to apply.
Yeah.
And the problem with me in my marriage is that I was trying to apply normal healthy habits with a person that is sick in their head.
I always say this. If and when I fail to live up to the word, it does not nullify the truth of the word of God.
I said to you before we got in here that I used to post a lot because another thing that my ex would do would be to make me think like nothing is real. So then I started to take a lot of pictures, and I would post a lot of pictures just for me to realize that actually this really did happen. And that's what narcissists do. They make you feel like your reality was not a reality, that it was null and void, that your relationship did not even have those good times that you were really having behind, because that's what he's telling his girlfriend, so that they think that he's not in a happy marriage and they can continue having a beautiful affair that they're having. So I started to take pictures. There was a reason why I said this. Now I lost my trail of thought. But it is important for us to take those pictures. Oh, yes, I was saying, then I would say hashtag marriage is beautiful. Till today, I believe marriage is beautiful. And I believe that I'm going to experience that beautiful marriage with a man and a ngondo, a healthy, a kandalaki, you know?
Yeah.
But it is not for me to fight God's battle. It's God's battle to show the world that marriage is beautiful. It's not Linda's battle. Linda has other battles that she must
do. That's where we miss it. We try, like you were saying, we try so much and not allow God to actually do the work. We feel we must assist him.
Yes. Remember also, I am an ordained pastor. I have an honors degree in theology. So for me, is I'm always trying to prove the word right. And it is not my fight. God, he's got enough strength to prove it. My second husband, I'm going to say, marriage is beautiful.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I'm looking at my time and I think we're going to run out. I want us to go to the third book, actually.
Okay.
Third book, sure. I think this one gives me goosebumps, Jay, at the thought of the fact that, again, this is your lived experience.
Yes.
And we can get right into it, actually.
All right.
Third
book is Special People Skip Stages. So after my ex-husband came back home, we decided we need another child. Then we started trying for another child, and I fell pregnant in 2018. I was telling you even before we came in here that I'm a person that outwardly you would think I'm not going through anything, and I feel like I'm not going through anything.
I think it's also the personality we have.
Yes. But inward, I'm going through something, you know, and my kids would always be the ones that suffer the most. I've had 4 miscarriages. This was the first miscarriage that I had, and I wrote this book after the first miscarriage. Little did I know that I'm still going to have 3 more, and this is the book that is going to hold my hand and make me go through those stages. So this is the book about that. It's about the miscarriage that I have. Fortunately, when you work for government, when you have a miscarriage, then they give you time off. So it is during that time off that I said, God, let me write about my experience. There's other women that are going through the same thing, and let me be, show them a guide that you are also with us even in that difficulty. I'll just read, I'll just give you a tip of what is happening in the book. It's a loss, not the error. You know, when you lose a child, especially with us as women, it is, you feel a loss, like it's a real loss. It's not something that is hypothetical. It's something
it's
that is real.
It's not just a fetus, as they would say.
Yes.
This is your
you've
baby.
You've imagined things. You've given him a name. You've given her a name. You are used to a routine of saying, morning, baby. You are, you know, you, they, you've incorporated this person into your life. So you must know that it is a loss, but it's not an error. There's nothing that you did wrong in order to lose that baby. But it is a loss that God allowed at that particular point. And because life is understood backward, it's only afterward you would understand why you had the miscarriage that you had at that particular time. I also speak about it also goes back to the ideal family is one of the things I write here. My ex-husband and I only had 1 biological child. So wherever we'd go, people would always ask us, why do you guys have 1 child?
And not understanding the pain you've been through.
Besides that, before we even started having trying for other kids, because we have an idea of what an ideal family should be. It should be at least 2 children or more. You guys can't have 1 child. It's not normal to have 1 child. But what if the script that God had written for you was for you to have only 1 child? It's when Lihle came into my life last year that I realized, God, it was okay for me to have one child. You knew I'm going to get to Lihle later on, and umama kuzomkhulisa and everything. And when he's old enough, he's going to come into my life and be my son. And now I don't have one child anymore, but I have two kids. So the ideal family is not what the community or what society says it is. The ideal family is what God has written in his books about you, and be happy with whatever ideal family that God had assigned for you. Let me also say something that is nice about my ex. Ningathini bitter, because believe you me, I'm not bitter. He used to say, whenever people asked us, why don't you have other kids? He would say, our child is going to go to Harvard, so we cannot have more than one. And I used to love that.
I
used to feel protected by that answer, because even when they see that you have one child, they will ask both of you, but they would always put the blame on the woman say, you are the lazy one, that's why you are not having it. So that answer would shield me and say, at least he's protecting me from society. And
I still love the answer to this day. We're saving for Harvard. We can't afford a second one. This one must go through.
This
Harvard
one must go through. The last one that I want to speak about is, we are pregnant, so we miscarry. I have that personality that I can't worry about me alone. I always worry about the next person. I remember when we had the miscarriage with this. This was the miscarriage this was the pregnancy where we were the furthest away. We were 5 months pregnant already.
Sure.
We were going to find out the sex of the child in the next appointment, which was next week. And I was more worried about him than I was about me. And everybody else was asking, how are you, Linda? And I was telling his uncles, and I was saying, please check on your son, you know, because I could see that he was affected by
it,
you know. When he took me to hospital, because the baby just came out while I was in the toilet that night, when he took me to hospital, he was gagging the whole way because he could not stomach what he had seen, you know.
Sure.
So it is important that when people have a miscarriage, that we don't just look at the woman that has miscarried, but we also need to look at the husband that has also miscarried, because we were pregnant and we miscarried. It's not that I was pregnant and I miscarried, but we were pregnant and we miscarried.
Yeah, she's reminding me. Somebody had, I think it was actually Umseleko. He was talking about how he never got to go through the feelings of their loss with Uma Kumalo. Because he's always, and I think oftentimes a lot of men do this. They focus on the wife. Yes, she needs the support. But then in the process, when you try to be the man.
Yeah.
You try to be the strong one. You emotionally take a knock as well.
Yeah.
And then I think it's only later on where we wonder to ourselves, who takes care of the men?
Yeah.
Who really takes care of the men? We find them angry and bitter and, but because nobody goes back to say, but are you okay?
Yeah. And it's important. And as the wife, it's your duty to do that. Make sure that the family rallies also behind him. Because maybe there'll be some things that he cannot speak about.
Yeah.
And there's things that you cannot relate about the loss because you are different genders. But make sure that there is family, that you go to therapy. Both of you go to therapy. Not you go to therapy because you were pregnant, but we were pregnant. So we need to go to therapy together so that we get over this particular loss.
So we must look at healing holistically.
Yes.
Not just as, she suffered the most because she carried that baby.
Actually, Untsega, my son, is the one that would carry my pregnancies with me.
Sure.
When my ex-husband cheats, he forgets completely about, he discards us completely. So the three miscarriages that I had was when he was at his honeymoon stage with his affair, with his girlfriend then. So my son was like the father of these kids, and he would take this pregnancy like he was the father of these pregnancies. So when I had the last miscarriage, then that's when I initiated that we need to go to therapy, because I could see how I should actually just share. It's very hurtful, but I think it will help another woman that also goes through a hurtful miscarriage. The last miscarriage is actually what I wanted to speak about. The last miscarriage I had was let me not speak about the last one. Let me speak about the one in May. In May 2022, I had a miscarriage. Now, when I had the miscarriage, I was about to go to Cape Town because I'm still studying. I'm a PhD student at the moment. So I'm still studying. So I was going to go down. I'm studying through Stellenbosch University. So I had to go down for my contact session. I was actually still doing my master's at the time. So I had to go down. So I went to a doctor and the doctor said, I was five mm-hmm. weeks pregnant. And the doctor said, you can go down. So I went down. And every day that I was there, now my ex had already started moving out of the house.
Okay.
He did not care at all about the child. But Untsika every day was asking me, how is the baby? Only to find that on the day that I arrived, I flew there Saturday, Sunday morning, I had a miscarriage. Mm. Now, the whole time that I was there, I had to still tell Untsika the baby is okay.
Yo.
I still had to tell Untsika the baby's okay. Even when I came back, Untsika was writing exams.
Yo, so you
I
can't...
still had to say the baby is okay. And I remember, this baby, I called her Ngobile because I had begged God that this child must survive.
Mm.
And when this baby did not want to come out of my womb.
Mm.
So for over 2 weeks, the baby stayed in my womb, but the baby was dead.
Sure.
So I'm going and I'm consulting different doctors and I'm begging God, let the heartbeat come back. Because lomtana ka pumi. So maybe
surely they are meant to, you know?
And upu ex ngaleso skathi, he's so happy with Shonile, they can easily go back to their life,
yeah.
girlfriend yake, and they don't have nappies to worry about. But when I came back, then I had to be given abortion pills so that the baby can flush out.
Sure.
And when I had to be given these abortion pills, then I asked him, now he had moved out already.
Mm.
Then I asked him, just come and sleep home for one night. You don't have to sleep with me. Our house is big. There's a left wing and a right wing. We can sleep on different sides. But I just need you to look after Ntika because I don't know how I'm going to react to these abortion pills. Mm. Guess what? He didn't come. Sharp. Indeed, 3 o'clock in the morning, I get pains. Ntika is writing his last exam.
I can't leave him.
I can't leave him.
Because if he gets up in the morning and you're not there, he's going to be alarmed.
Exactly. I had to stay in pain till 6 o'clock in the morning.
You're lying.
Then I took him to hospital to school, and then I went to hospital. When I got to hospital, I got scrubbed. I was in excruciating pain.
Mm.
I come back. I still. Then that's only when then I could tell Untsika that.
Unfortunately,
yes, because now he's finished with writing his exams. So the point I'm making is that the loss is for the whole family.
Mm.
When I saw how distraught he was, and the baby was supposed to be born in, I remember I had the miscarriage in July. The baby was supposed to be born in December and on the 25th, and he could not wait for the greatest
Christmas
present that he was going to have.
Aww.
And this Christmas present was not coming anymore. So when I saw how distraught he was, that's when I initiated that as a family, we need to all go for therapy because we are all experiencing that loss, because that is how deep miscarriages go.
Sure. Now, tell me, this book speaks obviously of the pain that you went through and the importance of seeking professional help and making sure you look out. But tell me also, is there a Christian aspect to the emotional healing on this, on the book?
Yes, definitely, definitely. In all my books, I always quote scripture. I always, always. I will say why God says move on, because there's a scripture here that says move on.
Mm.
And I will quote different biblical characters that also went through difficulty, like David, that child that also died, and he had to move on. And when he heard that his child had died, that's when he started eating. But before he heard that the child is still sick, he was not eating. So he understood that God's answer or his will had been done and there's nothing he can do to change it. So he had to move on. So I will always compare biblical characters in the book to show that we are not the first people to go through the loss that we are going through.
Yeah. Sure. absolutely powerful. Now, unfortunately, I'm looking at my time. I'm running out of time. If you can just let us know once more, where do we get these books? How do we get our hands on the books? How can we follow you as well in your journey?
All right. Okay, my books are available on Amazon. The author is Linda Lutyuansi, which is my previous marriage surname. You can follow me on Facebook, on Instagram, and on, I am Linda. I'm going to Chemasuga la. I'm changing to Masuku from Lutyuansi to Masuku. Yeah.
You're reborn.
I'm reborn. I'm re-announcing myself. So it's Linda Masuku on all socials. And my number is 072-1362-359. So if you need the physical book, you can call me and I can arrange for it to be posted, or
love
I will
that.
Bring it to you if you are in Pretoria, and it will definitely have an autograph. The small books, which are the books which is the intermediate period and special people's gift stages, is going for 200 rand, and the big Bible book, Mana the Heavenly Bread, is going for 300 rand. Please support. I would really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Linda. Thank you. Really, really. We had a great time with you. And all the best in your journey. And God bless. Send our greetings to Ntsiga.
I will definitely do that. Thank you so much. And my son, Lihle. I've got two boys.
Oh, yes, Lihle. Lihle. As kiss.
No, it's fine.
Hi, Malavi. And thank you so much for listening to Mommy, because I'm sure they're listening right now.
Definitely. I'm going to be teased the whole night, but it's okay. Thank you so much, Luca, for the invite. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, dear.
Your daily spiritual nourishment. Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
We understand that as a young person, you face many challenges that threaten both your safety and mental well-being. And in this fast-moving world, you don't always have someone to talk to. That's why I Am Youth has joined hands with Child Protection Hotline to give reliable and accessible counseling to young people. So send a WhatsApp text, SMS, or call the number 076-037-6345 to get help today. We believe that you are worth it.
Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.